delighted that you're here. We have visitors. We're glad that you've come. As already been mentioned in the announcements, we're glad you've come, and we hope that you can come back and be with us again. Every one of us would agree with the principle that your name is important to you. Your name is special to you. Your name may be special to other people, but it's especially special to you. In fact, we are pleased when someone remembers our name. Someone that we may haven't seen in a good while. Someone that we may think doesn't really know us that well, and they remembered our name and they call us by name. And that's special to us. We're pleased. We're glad when we go into a business and that business person remembers us from a transaction before and they call us by name. That's good business, isn't it? Because they know that we are pleased to hear them call our name. They don't just talk to us, they call us by name. And that's special to us. We're excited when a name appears in the paper. You know it is. You know you are. You open the paper and there's your name. That is, if it's in a good light. Sometimes you're not too excited. But that excites us to see our name in special places. We're honored if our name appears in some prominent or notable place. You ever picked up a book? And maybe it's a history book and your name's there. Opened up the biography of Homer Haley and my name's in the book. It wasn't used properly, but it was there. And so our names are special to us. And we think a lot about our names. Let me ask you, is your name written in some well-known place? Can you point to some well-known location and you say, my name's written right there? Maybe at the U.S. Capitol? There are names at the Capitol. All over the Capitol. Is your name written anywhere on the Capitol? Maybe at Mount Rushmore? Maybe at a place like the Eiffel Tower? Or maybe Ground Zero in New York? Is there a plaque there that has your name that says something special about you? Or maybe your name, does it appear on the Great Wall of China where everybody in the world knows where your name is? When you mention my name's there, everybody knows exactly where that is. Probably not. But if your name was there, you'd be excited about that, and so would I. Has anyone that's a powerful, well-known person ever written your name? Maybe in a letter to you. Maybe a king of some foreign country. Maybe some celebrity or star, baseball star, football star that you idolize, and they've written your name. Maybe it was an autograph and they signed and inscribed it to you. Maybe some dignitary, some senator, governor, president, or somebody has written your name. Well, let's go a step further. Has your name ever been added to an important list or ledger or record? Where you can say, there's a record of names at this particular place, and my name is listed right in the midst of all those names. Well, the Bible talks about that. So let's open our Bibles and read a number of passages, and then we're going to come back, and we'll make some application to all these passages. So let's spend a few moments tracing some passages. Let's start in the book of Exodus. The 32nd chapter, if you will, and verse 32, Exodus 32. And verse 32, this is in the context of the children of Israel and their golden calf, and Moses pleading to God, and Moses addressing and dealing with the sin. And the Lord said to Moses at verse 32, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Well, that tells me God has a book and that he's written names there. God said, I'll blot their name out of the book. Well, let's go over to the book of Psalms, if you will. We're going to notice several Psalms. A little bit later, we'll talk about some of the Psalms, but we'll notice one at this juncture. In Psalm 69, if you will, and in verse 28, Psalm 69 in verse 28, the Psalm is talking about suffering. He talks about distress and deliverance, so forth. But I want you to notice at verse 28, he said, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. I learned from that that there is a place and a book and a ledger, maybe not a literal book, but a ledger, so to speak, where God writes the names of the righteous, and some are going to have their names blotted out of that book. But there are going to be some who have their name continually remaining in that book. Well, let's go to another Old Testament passage, this time to the book of Isaiah. I said we're going to trace several passages, and then we'll come back and make some application to all of this. Let's look at Isaiah 4 and in verse 3. Isaiah 4 and in verse 3. This is messianic, by the way, talking about the future glory of Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and who remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, and everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. So there is a record of those who are living that's kept in Jerusalem, he said. Now that is messianic, and we'll not take the time to develop the whole context of that. Now let's come to the New Testament, this time in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 3. I'm trying to get before you the concept that God has a record book that you well know. And you well understand God has a record book where he records the name of the righteous. And your name's written there if you are righteous. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 3. Philippians 4 and verse 3. He said, I urge you, Philippians 4, 3, true companion, help these women who labored with me, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow laborers or workers whose names are written in the book of life. Now, the book's called the book of life, and their names are written in the book of life, he said. Well, let's go a step further. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 12. Talks about something being registered in heaven. Talks about the great assembly, the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. When you're registered somewhere, your name's there. Have you ever thought you had a reservation somewhere and your name was registered and you get there and somehow your name didn't get on the list? Well, your name is registered in heaven if you are what you ought to be. Now, let's turn to the book of Revelation. There's several passages in the book of Revelation that talk about this. I said there were several in Psalms. I actually had in mind Revelation where there are several passages that talk about this. Revelation 3 and in verse 5. We won't read every one of these in the book of Revelation, but I want to get a listing at least of those. Revelation 3 and in verse 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. And so it talks about the name being in the book of life. Chapter 13 in verse 8 talks again about the name being in the book of life. I said we wouldn't take the time to read all of these. We come to the 20th chapter, verse 12 and 13. And again he talks about the book of life and the names that are written in the book of life, verse 12 and in verse 15. And then finally we come to chapter 21 and in verse 27 we read about the Lamb's book of life. Now, all of those say essentially the same thing as far as the point we're wanting to make. They may be worded differently. Registered in heaven. The name could be blotted out. The name of the righteous is written in Jerusalem. The Lamb's book of life. That God has a registry book. God has a book wherein he writes and keeps the record of the name of the righteous. Now let's turn to a passage in Luke chapter 10 where I want to focus, and then we'll branch into three things that we learn from all of these passages. This one particularly. In Luke, the 10th chapter, in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. In what? Well, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want you to notice that expression. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your name is important to you. Your name is special to you, isn't it? And having your name appear in the paper in some prominent place or some notable place is very important to all of us. We have to admit, we like to see our name somewhere. But here is a passage that says, your name is written in heaven. So let's talk a little while about this concept of the name being written in heaven. Adam Clark made this observation about Luke chapter 10 and in verse 20. He said, the form of speech taken here is from the ancient custom of writing the names of all the citizens in a public register. It appears also probable that when any person died or behaved improperly, his name was sought out and erased from the book. To prevent any confusion that might happen in consequence of improper persons laying claim to an estate, and to cut off the unworthy from the rights and the privileges of peaceable and upright citizens. So here you'd have a city wherein they'd keep a register of all the people in the city that were living proper and living upright in the city. Good citizens of the city. So here is one that behaves in a criminal way, and they go back to the register and they take his name out of that because he's not to be noted among those that are good citizens of the city. Adam Clark so defines it's the principle or the practice of a public register. Well, to have your name in a public register was not just something that you did to keep a census, but it was an honor and a privilege. Plummer suggests that as citizens possessing the full privileges of the Commonwealth, that if your name appeared in the register book of the city, that meant you had full privileges of the city. You had full cities of the commonwealth. You had full citizenship. And consequently, you had all the privileges and the honor thereof. Well, isn't that what Revelation 21 and verse 27 is saying? But there shall be by no means enter anything, speaking of heaven, is the context of Revelation 21, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if your name is one that is defiled, if your name is something contrary to the will of God, you shall not enter, because only those who have their names written in the Book of Life, only those that are in the registry of the Commonwealth, so to speak, as Adam Clark so describes. So let's talk a little while about our names being written in heaven. Where is your name written? Where has your name appeared? You say, well, my name's been in the paper. Had my name on some plaques. Had my name printed on trophies. I like to see it there. But is your name written in heaven? Three things I want to consider with you about that. First of all, let's consider the fact that our names can be written in heaven. Our names can be written in heaven. Now, our passage in Luke chapter 10 tells us that, and so the host of other passages tell us that. Now, let's just start with this principle. God knows His people. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 19. Now, when we become the people of God, and we're living right, and we're behaving in the way that God would have us to behave, this passage is simply saying God takes note of that and God knows that. Maybe you're living a righteous life and you're living a godly life and you're not getting any notoriety about that, and no one's really commending you for that, and no one's really paying attention to the fact that you're doing your best to live right. Well, this passage says God takes note of that. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are here. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knows who you are. So I learned this principle, God knows His people. Well, let's establish a second thing. God writes His name in His book. We just read from Revelation 21 and verse 27. There shall not any means enter anything that defiles or causes any abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, God knows who His people are, and He takes those names and He writes them in His book. That's the principle that we learn. Now, that's an honor and a privilege. It's the same. To have your name written in the Book of Life or have your name written in heaven is the same as being a child of God. When you become a child of God, your name's written there. We'll see that in a moment from Revelation 22. But what I want you to see from 1 John chapter 3 is what an honor and a privilege that is. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, the whole chapter is devoted to sonship. Being a son or a child of God is the point. Sonship. Being a child of God. And he begins on the note of what an honor and a privilege that is. Notice what he says beginning at verse 2, or verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Look at how much privilege it is. Look at what a great honor it is that we should be allowed to become the children of God. That's his point. What an honor and a privilege that we would be allowed to be in the register book and God would write our name in heaven. Now let's talk about how that's done. How is one's name written in heaven? How do I get my name there? Well, I might know how to get my name in the paper. I might submit my name and say, I want my name listed in this list. Or maybe I can make honor roll at school and they'll print my name in the paper. Or maybe I'll do something else and they'll get my name in the paper. But how do I get my name written in heaven? How do you do that? Well, God does the writing of that. I can't write it there. God does the writing. But it's based upon my obedience to the gospel. Now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. Toward the end of the book and toward the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22 and in verse 14, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. Now, by my obedience, now that didn't mention specifically the writing of the name, but we've established that having your name written in heaven is the same as becoming a child of God and being a Christian. And that's based upon my obedience to the gospel. Now, that's interesting that Revelation 22 and in verse 14 is in the same context of Revelation 21, 27 that we've read twice already about whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as well as chapter 20, verse 12, and in verse 15. But let's go a step further. I know my name can be written in heaven, and I can do something about having my name written in heaven. And so I want to ask you, is your name ever written in a prominent place? You could say, if you're a child of God, it sure is. A place everybody knows, it's written in heaven. It sure is. My name's in a prominent place. But here's the second thing. we can know whether our name is written in heaven. Sometimes there may be a register somewhere and you wonder, I wonder if my name got there. I wonder if somehow they put my name in there. I wonder if they spelled it properly. I wonder if somebody forgot to submit my name. I should be on that list. I don't see my name anywhere. How can I know my name is written in heaven? How can I know that? Let's go back to our text in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 20. Let's go back to our text. In Luke chapter 10 and in verse 20. It is implied from that text that I can know my name is written in heaven, or else, how could I ever be rejoicing? Let's read our text again. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Now, I rejoice because my name is written in heaven, so it is implied in the text that I can know it, or else I couldn't be rejoicing. It might be a circumstance if I didn't know. Might be a circumstance where I'm thinking, I'm wondering, is it written there? Reckon God remembered to put my name down? Remember, the Lord knows those that are His, and He writes their names down. If you are His child, He's written your name. Now, let's turn to a passage we need to know well, and perhaps you are very familiar with it. If not, we need to become familiar. With Romans 8 and in verse 16, I can know whether or not I'm a child of God. I hear Christians sometimes say, and perhaps you've heard this as well, that I would like to think I'm a child of God. I would like to think I'm a Christian. I would like to think I'm living right. But I don't know that God approves of my life. I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure my name's written in heaven would be what they're saying. Well, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says, I can know whether or not I'm His child. And then the very next verse says that if I'm His child, I have hope. Look at verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is a means and a testimony by which you can know you're a child of God when two things agree. More about that in a moment. Now, verse 17. And if children, if you know you're a child, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I can know I'm a child of God and I have the hope of going to heaven in the afterlife. Now, let's talk about how Romans 18, verse 16 works. You may know this well, but you need to be impressed with this principle because this is part of what we teach to our friends and neighbors when we talk about the evidence of pardon. How do I know I'm a child of God? How do I know I'm saved? And how do I know whether or not you're saved? And how do you know whether or not you're saved? And you say, well, I know I'm saved. And I say, well, I know I am. But we might have thought we're saved in different ways. How can we know? How can I know I'm saved? What is the evidence of pardon? How can I know my name is written in heaven? The text says the Spirit of God. Are you reading with me at Romans 8:16? The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When the Spirit of God bears witness, He bears witness through the testimony of the Word, because that is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and 17. This is how the Spirit functions. That's the tool that He uses, is the Word of God. So through the Word of God, the Spirit tells us what we ought to be doing. In other words, the revelation of God, the revelation that came by the Holy Spirit, tells me what I need to do and how I need to live, the things I need to obey. Now, my spirit tells me whether or not I have done that. I don't look to the Word of God and decide, I don't know if I've been baptized or not. I know if I've been baptized. I know whether or not I repented. I know whether or not I attend services. I know whether I partake of the Lord's Supper. I know whether I'm doing the will of God or not. Let's go back to our text again. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, what did the Spirit of God say? Well, repent and be baptized. My spirit says, you know what? I've done that very thing. And when they agree, then I now know that I am a child of God. I know I'm a child of God. You say, how do you know? Not by some feeling that I have. Not by some experience I went through. Not by someone telling me, I think you're a Christian. I know I'm a Christian and I know I'm a child of God because I can look to the text and see what I was told to do. And I know if I did that or not. And if I did, then I know I'm a child of God. And if I know I'm a child of God, I know my name's written in heaven. You say, you know? I sure do. So can you know that? Romans 8 and verse 16. But let's go a step further. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We can know whether or not we've passed from death into life. We sometimes, and I'm trying to drive this principle home, that we sometimes feel uncertain. We feel unsure. We don't seem to have a sense of hope about us. And we're just not sure if we have passed from death into life. We're just not sure if we have done what the Lord would have us to do. 1 John 3 and in verse 14 said, I can know that I've done one, gone from one realm to the other. He said, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. John talks about knowledge. By the way, John, 1 John was written from the vantage point of Gnosticism, or at least the incipient form of Gnosticism, of those who claim superior knowledge. So he talks about knowledge a great deal. And he said, here's something we do know. What do you know, John? I know we've passed from death unto life. We can have knowledge of that. Same book, chapter 5, 13. He said, these things I've written unto you, that you may who believe that written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, he said. You mean we can know that? Well, John said we can know we've passed from death unto life. And we can know we have eternal life, and we can know whether or not we're the children of God. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You're familiar with this text where Paul talks about his own hope and he talks about his own confidence. And what Paul is saying is that I know my name's written in heaven. Look at chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure at his hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but those who love his appearing. Paul says, I have confidence. What are you saying, Paul? I'm saying I know my name is written in heaven. So I can have my name written in heaven, and I can have knowledge that my name is written in heaven. But here's a third point I want us to talk about. And that is, let's talk about the fact that we should rejoice if our name is written in heaven. Let's go back to our text in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 20. Go back to your text there. The text said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. In what? That the spirits are made subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. There's three things I want us to consider with you. Number one, let's talk about the importance of your name being written in heaven. How important is that? Well, every one of us probably have had our name appear somewhere and somebody called you, I saw your name printed. Or maybe you saw it posted somewhere and it wasn't a big deal. And so you pass it off. Well, it's not all that important. I don't even care to go look and see if it's there. I don't even care if the report is correct or not because it's not all that important my name appear there. But it is very important if your name's written in heaven. And so the thing is that when we recognize my name is written in heaven, how important is that? Well, I learned from Luke 10 in verse 20 how important it is. Let's talk about the context. Notice what he said in the context. Do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you and you can cast them out, in other words. Now you think about the power of the apostles. Well, they had power over demons. They had power over those who were possessed with demons. So that the demons were subject unto the power and the authority of the apostles. And they had the power to cast them out. Now that's a lot of power. That's impressive. That is very impressive. But what he said is, do not rejoice that you're able to do that. Now that is something you can do. But here's what you need to be rejoicing over, is that your name is written in heaven. That tells me that's far more important than this over here. What if you were in the days of the apostles and you're going forth to preach the gospel and you suddenly recognize, I've got the power over demons. I can cast out demons. Demons are subject unto me. I can do miracles and wonders and signs. But that's not what I need to be excited about. That's not what I need to be rejoicing about. What I need to be rejoicing about is the fact that my name is written in heaven. Now that tells me it's more important than some things. Having your name written in the ledger book of heaven is far more important than having great power. Isn't that what that text is talking about? Let's go back to Luke 10. Keep your Bible open there to Luke 10. I'm basing every one of these points about the importance of it from Luke 10 in verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are made subject to you. That's great power. Is your name written in heaven? You say, well, no, I don't know that it is. I haven't been obedient. Well, no, it's not if you haven't been obedient to the gospel. Let me tell you what, having your name written in heaven is far more important than having great power. Do you realize how much money people spend to seize power? What is it, $20 million that was spent in the last presidential campaign to get through the primaries? Something like that. That's a lot of money. Just to have power for 4 to 8 years. For 4 years, it takes $20 million to get there. Take a little more to get there for another 4 years. But far greater than that great power is having your name written in heaven. It's far greater than doing great wonders and working miracles. You look at the miracles of the Lord. You look at the miracles of the apostles. They could speak and one be blind, Acts 13, the case of Elymas. They could raise the dead, the case of Eutychus. And what if we could do those things today? And you think, man, that's great power. Whoa, that, look at the great wonders they could do. Having your name written in heaven is more important than that. And you say, how do you know? Look at Luke 10 and verse 20. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are made subject to you, but rather rejoice your name is written in heaven. Here's something else. It's far more important than great accomplishments, even spiritually. What if you could begin to list? You know, I've done a great number of things in my lifetime, and I've had great accomplishments, and you just start listing, and there's just great accomplishments that I've accomplished through my lifetime. Well, I don't know much great accomplishments than what you can read in Luke 10 and in verse 20, and that is that the spirits are made subject to you and that you could cast out demons. What great accomplishments that were. But the text says that it's far greater than those great accomplishments, even spiritual things, having your name written in heaven. It's far more important than great leadership. Luke 10 and verse 20 must be talking about leadership, isn't it? Because these are apostles going forth with the power to cast out demons. That's leadership. Far more important than leadership. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I wished I was in a leadership position. Not that I'm envious, but I wished I had the ability and the power to be in leadership and have influence. There's something far greater than that is having your name written in heaven. And I want to suggest to you also it's greater than having a great impact upon others. Maybe you'd like to have a great impact. I wished I was influential. I wished I could do something that it has an impact on other people and others are influenced by the things that I do and the things I say. And I wished I was a mover and a shaker. I wished I could do great things. Apostles could do that. Luke 10 and verse 20. Do not rejoice that the spirits are made subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. So I learned something about the importance of having your name there. That ought to cause us to rejoice because it's so important. But here's something else I want you to see. That we ought to be a rejoicing people. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Sadly enough, that's not always the case. Go back to our text in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 20. But rather rejoice in this. In what? That your names are written in heaven. That ought to make us happy. That ought to cause us to rejoice in spite of all of our difficulties. The Christian has every reason to rejoice when he recognizes his name is written in heaven. Because he can rejoice in the hope of glory. Isn't that what Romans 5 and verse 2? We read that. Earlier, we read that in our Bible study this morning. Romans 5 and in verse 2. That here was one of the benefits and the blessings and of being a Christian, being that blessed man that we talked about this morning in Psalm 1, was that you rejoice in the hope of glory. We ought to be rejoicing in the truth. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity, he rejoices in truth. That's what love does. 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 6. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 18 that even when Christ was being preached for the wrong purpose and the wrong motive, he said, I still rejoice that Christ is preached. At least the truth is being preached. Even if it's the wrong motive, I rejoice in that. And then we read in Philippians 3 and in verse 1 and chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We ought to be a rejoicing people. Christians should not be those who are always looking for the external and the material to make them somehow happy. But this is based on the spiritual relationship. Why is it that we find Christians sometimes that are not happy at all, have long faces, they act as if they have no reason to rejoice? Do you remember the command in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16? Two words, and in the original it is the shortest verse of the Bible. And it says, rejoice always. End of sentence. Not rejoice always, conditioned upon, but just rejoice always. Because indeed your name is written in heaven. Now, I want to suggest to you, thirdly and finally, that when you are rejoicing that your name is written in heaven, you're not rejoicing. It's not in this manner. It's not that you know because you rejoice. I want to talk about evidence of pardon again and go back to our text in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. And what's the difference? What are we talking about here? Well, the text says in Luke 10 and verse 20, do you have your Bible open there? Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are made subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What the text is saying is you know your name is written in heaven, Therefore, and thus you rejoice. The rejoicing comes because you do know that your name is written in heaven. But quite often, the denominational world and some of our own brethren are getting it backwards, and here's how they think it works. They think that we rejoice, therefore I know my name is written in heaven. How do you know your name is written in heaven? I feel like it is. I feel like I'm saved. Here's how that works. You see, I have this good feeling about me. I have this warm feeling about me. I feel confident. I've gone through this experience that I had that kind of gave me this chill over my body, and I just feel like that I just have this great rejoicing, and I just have this great experience that I had. And because of the way I feel about things, therefore I know my name is written in heaven. Therefore I know that. That's just backwards from what the text says. What the text says is, I know, and that causes me to rejoice. You don't base your knowledge of your evidence of pardon and your relationship with God on your feeling. While the denominational world does that, that's their evidence of pardon. That's why we need to talk to them about that. But not only that, we have that among brethren. Do you ever run across a Christian who says, you know what, I'm concerned about my salvation. I'm not sure about my relationship to God. Well, why are you not sure? I just don't feel like I'm saved. Well, what are you looking for? What kind of feeling are you looking for? Are you looking for some kind of special feeling that's going to give you that evidence? So that if you do feel good and you have that warm feeling and you start feeling confident and you feel happy about your relationship and you feel good about that, then you're going to know your name is written in heaven. You've got it backwards if that's what you're looking for. What you need to look for is the knowledge first. And now that I know my name is written in heaven, now I have that good feeling. Now I have that rejoicing. Now I'm excited because now I know that I'm a Christian. So what we just saw from that is, we see the importance. Here's why we need to be rejoicing. It's so important. It is so important. More important than any other relationship. More important than power and things we saw in the context. We ought to be a rejoicing people. We need not have it backwards. We need to have the knowledge, and then therefore we rejoice. Is your name written in heaven? Oh, yes, your name is special to you. It's very important to you, isn't it? My name is important to me. Is your name important? Sure it is. Where is it written? Well, it might not appear in the front page of the local paper. It may not appear on the evening news, and it may not appear in some prominent registry of great and important people, but your name can be written in heaven, can't it? And you can know whether it's written there. And knowing your name is written down in heaven, there's a ledger book in heaven where if you were to go through and call it up, there's your name sitting right there. And who wrote it there? It's in God's handwriting. God wrote it there. Written by a prominent being in a prominent place. And that ought to cause us to be a rejoicing people. Is your name written in heaven? If it's not, you're not a Christian. Would you become one tonight? And the moment you become a child of God and you rise from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life, God's writing your name in the ledger book. But the moment you turn and you depart from God, God goes back and finds that ledger book and He erases and blots out your name. Has your name been blotted out? We haven't talked much about that. Have you ever thought about your name being blotted out, that your name was written there and when you go back to look and your name's not there? And what a surprise at the day of judgment you get there and God gets out His ledger book and you come before the judgment bar and your name is called and I don't see your name. What do you mean my name's not there? Well, it's been blotted out. It looks like it's been erased. How did it get erased? God took it and erased it out. That's disappointing to find your name's been erased, isn't it? But you can have your name put back in the book of life. Would you come tonight repenting of your sins, making correction before God? If your name's been taken out, would you have it put back in? But making correction before God. If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?